ज्ञानी प्रचार निर्विजय शून्य पश्चात्यार
Hare Krishna, welcome to Krishna Consciousness Radio Program. I'm sorry about the technical problem, we started a bit late. And once again, I would like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28. There, every Sundays, we hold a special public program starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by Aarti of their lordships at 12:30, and then we have a discourse on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, why we should be chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then we have Guru Puja of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And we finish the day's program at 2:30 with Vegetarian Feast. Please come along, join us. And today we have a very special guest, Bhakti Mukunda Maharaj, and he will be giving Yeah, we have a special guest today, His Holiness Bhakti Mukunda Maharaj. He will be giving the discourse today. Remember, it starts at the program starts at 12:30. Please come along and join us on time if you want to enjoy the program. So last week I started the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. So we'll continue from there. Let's see how we manage with this problem. Dasharatha seemed to be a complete man. He had everything. Dasharatha, the father of Lord Ramchandra, he had everything a man could aspire for and probably more: physically strength, beautiful wives, opulence beyond imagination, magnificent palaces, followers who would do anything for him, and a kingdom that extended across the globe. Yes, Dasharatha had everything indeed, yet he was dissatisfied. The presence of everything in his life was overshadowed by the absence of a son. Just as a small coin that can cover the eye to block out the brightness of the majestic sun, the absence of a son eclipsed the grandeur of Dasharatha's limitless fortunes and blessings. Kausalya, Sumitra, and Kaikeyi were the principal wives, and Dasharatha, the king, married the remaining 350 prisoners, the princesses, under harsh circumstances. A powerful incarnation of Lord Vishnu named Parshuram once went on a rampage, destroying all the Kshatriyas with vengeance because of mistakes committed by some of them. Parshuram traveled across the world, eliminating Kshatriyas who crossed his path. However, he did not touch a Kshatriya surrounded by women, or one in the midst of a wedding. A king was called Nari Kavach, because he saved himself by surrounding himself with naked women that nauseated Parshuram enough to spare the king. Dasharatha, on the other hand, took refuge in weddings. Whenever he was informed about Parshuram's imminent arrival, he would initiate a wedding ceremony with the princes of the land he was in. Parshuram could not fight a king kill King Dashrath because he was in the midst of a wedding. Parshuram passed by Ayodhya 350 times during his rampage, and Dashrath evaded the death as many times and ended up with 350 wives in addition to his three main queens. The pangs of agony at not having a son far surpassed the tumor of the anguish that Dashrath felt every time Parshuram came behind to attack him. Dashrath called his ministers for a conference to find a way to overcome his grief. He thought an Ashwamedh Yajna, a horse sacrifice, would please the Lord enough to award him a son. However, before making decision, he wanted the advice of and blessings of all the great sages and wise men in his council. The great sages led by Vasishtha seconded Dasharatha's idea and agreed to assist him in fulfilling his desire. The sages also warned him of the dire consequences of any error made when conducting this sacrifice. They agreed to protect the sacrifice against any such lapses by keeping a strict vigilance on the performance and the purity of every individual and rituals involved. After all the advisors left, Sumantra, the chief minister of Dashrath, approached Dashrath and told him a hitherto unknown story. He narrated that long ago, a great sage, Sanat Kumar, predicted that Dashrath would perform this very yajna. Sanat Kumar had spoken about a unique and powerful sage named Rishi Sringa as being the chief director of the sacrifice. The wise Sanat Kumar had predicted that under the guidance of Rishi Sringa, the sacrifice would be a success, and that Dashrath would father illustrious sons. Who was Rishi Sringa? Sumantra went on to narrate the history behind Rishi Sringa. Rompa, the great king of Anga, was a great dear friend of King Dashrath, so much so that Dashrath had given up his own daughter, Santa, for adopting to King Rompa, assuming that he would father sons in the future. Once Rompa's kingdom was crippled by drought, great sages advised that if Rishi Sringa stepped into his kingdom, there would be a bountiful of rain immediately. Rishi Sringa was so named because of this peculiar birth feature. Sringa means a horn. Rishi Sringa means a sage with a horn. Indeed, Rishi Sringa was born with a horn on his forehead. But to get Rishi Sringa to step into the kingdom was not an easy task, because his father, Vibhandakari, kept him cocooned from the material world. He forbade Rishi Sringa from entering any city or leaving behind the austere forest life of an ascetic. To make Rishi Sringa a great sage, Vibhandakari kept him off all luxuries, comfort, women, and even rich food. So Rompa had asked his ministers to devise a clever plan to trick Rishi Sringa into entering his kingdom. The ministers waited until Rishi Sringa's father was away. They then sent a group of female courtiers dressed as male sages to lure the hermit. The female courtiers began surrounding this hermitage and sweet melodious music. The innocent Rishi Sringa had no idea that these sages women and treated them as compatriots who had come to the forest. In return for respect and hospitality, the sages offered Rishisringa exquisite sweets and words of affection. The naive Rishisringa thought the sweets were some kind of fruit. When it was time for his father to return, each cousin embraced him and left the hermitage. After their departure, Rishisringa was like a lost man. He was emotionally disturbed and overcome with sadness and was always absorbed in the thoughts of these women. He had never ever experienced such turbulence before. The next day, the woman returned and told him to accompany them to their hermitage. They promised to introduce Rishisringa to many other exalted sages. Rishisringa willingly accompanied them. Their hermitage was actually a moving boat, which quickly brought the unsuspecting Rishisringa into the kingdom of Rompal. The moment Rishisringa stepped on the soil of Anga, the clouds burst and began pouring in incense rains. The downpour swelled Anga's past hearts with the kind of joy and joy a Chatakbet feels when, after waiting for long, the first drops of rain quenches his thirst. As much relieved, the greatest Rompal fell at the feet of the great sage and offered his daughter Santa's hand in marriage to him. It was then that Rishisringa figured out what had actually transpired. He would now be a married man, and that he was instrumental in saving a great purpose. Although he was tricked into it, Rishisringa wisely decided not to take offense. King Rompad requested Rishisringa to stay in his kingdom. Sumantra reminded Dasrath that Santa was, after all, his own daughter, and that made Rishisringa his son-in-law. So if Dasrath were to request Rishisringa, he would definitely not be able to refuse because they were so closely related. Dasrath wasted no time and set forth for Anga and requested Rompal to allow Rishisringa to perform the sacrifice in Ayodhya. The citizens of Ayodhya welcomed Rishisringa with much pomp and glory. Here was a sage who could usher into Ayodhya the rain of good fortune by facilitating Dasrath's desire for sons. Rishisringa suggested that Dasrath perform the Putreshti Yajna, a sacrifice to the Lord to fulfill one's desire for sons. Successful performance of the Putreshti Yajna required the king to be sinless. To ensure purity, Rishisringa suggested that the Ashwamedh Yajna be performed first. Arrangements for the Ashwamedh Yajna had in fact began from the time Rishisringa arrived in Ayodhya. A powerful host was selected and sent out to traverse the globe. The Ashwamedh Yajna was such that the king of every kingdom through which this horse passed had to either accept the sender of the horse as his master, or fight to prove his superiority. When the horse sent from Ayodhya passed through every kingdom of the world, no king dare challenge it, and everyone rightfully accepted Dasrath as the unopposed monarch of the world. The ritual horses took a whole year to return to Ayodhya. Meanwhile, preparations for the sacrificial ceremony were on full swing. Every king of the world was invited to the sacrifice. Vasishtha insisted that Sumantra personally go and invite Dasrath's close friends, Janak, the king of Mithila, Rompal, the king of Anga, Keke, the king of Kekea, Keke's father, the third wife of Dasrath. and many others. Elaborate lodging arrangements were made to host the royal guests and their entourage comfortably. Vasis painstakingly monitored every aspect of the arrangement for the sacrifice. He ensured that there was no lapses and that all those involved in the preparation did their best. His key instructions to all concerned were that nothing should be taken lightly. No invite, no guest should be neglected. None of who came to participate in the sacrifice should be hungry or thirsty. Women, children, old and ailing, were given special considerations and their needs were attended to immediately. The food served was so wholesome that pure that even those with poor appetite overate and still long for more. All the visitors were thoroughly satisfied and showered their blessings wholeheartedly. The Ashwamedh Yagya was a double-edged sword. In what it could deliver great results and ensure an elevated life for the performers, but it could also prove disastrous if there were to be a single lapse. It was believed that Brahmarakshas attacked and destroyed the performer as soon as a single error was committed. To avoid such mistakes, Vasishtha appointed supervisors to keep strict vigil to ensure that everyone executed their task sincerely without neglecting their responsibilities. The Ashwamedh Yagya was thus successfully completed under Rishi Sringa's able guidance and Vasishtha's alert management. After the yajna, the joyous Dasarath showered all his wealth on the priest as charity. In his ecstasy, he exhausted all his wealth. Dasarath gave away everything he had because he was completely filled with joy. When the priest received all his wealth, they addressed him as Raghunandan. Why did the priest call Dasarath? So Dasarath's charitable disposition reminded them of his ancestor, a famous king named Raghu, also known for his extreme benevolence. A story from King Raghu's life highlights this wonderful quality. Once King Raghu performed a Vishwajit Yajna, in which he gave away all his possessions. The only possession that remained were his clothes and some earthen pots and vessels. Hearing of his magnificence, a young scholar named Kautasa went to seek his help to discharge his obligation towards his spiritual master. Kautasa needed princely amount of 140 million gold coins. Because Kautasa was a Brahmin, King Raghu received him respectfully. When Kautasa learned that Raghu had given away everything and was reduced to poverty, he did not ask for anything. Raghu, however, insisted Raghu, however, insisted on saving Kautasa, not wanting to dishonor of dissatisfying a needy guest. After relentless persuasion, the young scholar told him what he wanted. Immediately, Raghu started praying to Kuber, the treasurer of demigods, for the wealth he needed. He also instructed his soldiers that if Kuber did not respond to his prayer, they should attack Kuber's kingdom. Kuber was the treasurer of the demigods, so he is the treasurer of the demigods. That very night, a heavy shower of gold coins filled the king's empty oak coffers. The scholar wanted only 140 million coins. Neither the scholar nor the king was willing to accept anything more, because neither owned this wealth. Such was the magnanimous of the donor and the recipient. Pleased with Dasarath's attitude, the priest retained his riches to him, saying that they were not competent enough to handle such opulence. They took only as much as they required for educational purposes and for the sacrifices. Dasarath took back the wealth and property and instead gave them millions of cows, gold coins, and four times as many silver coins. The Brahmins in return passed all this wealth on to Rishi Sringa and Vasishtha. The two detached souls promptly divided the wealth equally among all the Brahmins. At the end of the Ashwamedh Yaga, Dasarath became qualified to perform the Putra Kameshti Yajna. Rishi Sringa spearheaded the Putra Kameshti Yajna ritual. The altar of the Yajna was eagle-shaped because Garuda, an eagle, was instrumental in getting nectar for the demigods whenever they were in trouble. Now that Dasarath was in despair, the eagle-shaped altar was his hope for the celestial nectar, the ultimate magic potion that could usher in the sweet joy of male children into his life. The Putra Kameshti Yajna began at last. The sacrificial fire blasted powerfully, sending billows of fumes right up to the sky. As the sky became overcast with holy smoke, the demigod descended from the heavens to receive their share of the offerings. The sacrifice was so pure that they felt drawn towards it, although their heart was pounding with extreme excitement. Their minds were racing towards a demon named Ravan. His presence in this universe disturbed them so much that they took their concern about the demon and his cruel way to Brahma, the god of the gods. So we'll stop there today and continue from there next week. Let's have some kirtan.
Hare 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 Ram Hare.